like we hear about players and coaches that have preseason routines or mindsets, mm-hmm. and regular season routines or mindsets, and then postseason, whatever. And then, so what changes for you in the postseason, especially in how you deal with the players?
We have a normal week. We have a normal preparation because, you know, playing on Sunday gives us the chance to have 2 days of preparation and treat each day like you do during the regular season. So that's always a plus. The following week, both teams would be a day less preparation. Hopefully we're in that situation. But you never know during the playoffs what day you're going to be asked to play. So you got to be ready for either one.
Change for postseason?
No, it's the same routine. You either have a three-game season or a four-game season. I mean, that's your goals. Obviously, the teams with the bye have a three-game season, and everybody in the wild card hoping for a four-game season, and you know that's where your focus is. The job at hand, and that's what your goal is, to accomplish what you set out to do.
Is the status of Cedric Griffin? I know he's eligible to return, mm-hmm. and if you do bring him back, how much will that help your secondary?
He will return. He'll get a chance to practice this week with us. We can decide at the end of the week if he's in shape or not, so we don't have to make the decision until at the end of the week, and we'll see how he is, what type of shape he's in, if he's able to help us.
Sorry, he was playing at a high level towards the end. Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, it all depends what type of shape he's in. Anytime a guy is out for 4 weeks, you're hoping he can come in and help you just like he was when he left. But we'll see that as we go through practice.
Going back to the playoff preparation, you have several rookies in key spots and all that. Do you talk to them at all about how things change, or you know, do you feel like you even need to with the rookies that you have given how they've kind of prepared throughout the season?
Yeah, nothing really changes. You're getting ready like you do every week. I think everybody on your football team understands, you know, at the beginning of the season what your first goal is, and that's to have a home field game. That's what you're shooting for, to win the NFC East, and we've been able to accomplish that. And everything now comes down to a, you know, 4 week season or a 5 week, depending if it's 1 or 2 weeks with the Super Bowl. So, you know, that's the mindset at the beginning. You talk about it, you talk about the ability to get to where we're at right now, and now you take them one at a time.
Coach, did you guys give, going back to Cedric, him any kind of program or anything you wanted him to do so that you could ensure when he came back he had a chance to play right away with just 4 games left? I mean, I guess obviously could have assumed maybe that he wouldn't have the postseason to play.
Well, when I talked to him, I said, hey, hopefully we will be in the postseason. I expect to be in great shape. We can't have any communication with him once he does leave the building. And so I had a chance to talk to him today. He says he's in good shape, so hopefully there's no setback.
Mike, just to be clear on his status, he still has to be reinstated to the active roster at some point this week, you said?
Yeah, if he's going to play, that's what we would do.
And as you guys go through the list of goals, when you accomplish, like you said, the first goal of winning the division and getting a home playoff game, how do you ensure that there's no element of satisfaction or no letdown as you proceed on then to the next goals on the list?
Well, I think these football players understand that at the beginning of the season, there's only one team that's going to accomplish the ultimate goal, and that's what we're all shooting for. But the first step is, you know, to win the division like we've talked about. The second step is take one game at a time. You know, it's either a three- or four-game season for the team that wins the Super Bowl. And what you got to do is pay attention to detail every day. And same things we've been doing for the last 7 weeks, we'll continue to do, and hopefully we can even do them at a higher level.
Mike, how did you come out of yesterday's game on the injury front?
Corey Lichtensteiger's got an ankle sprain. We'll see how that is Wednesday. Hopefully he'll be all right. And I think we've got some bumps and bruises, but I think Johnson is a little bit sore. Hopefully he'll be okay. But other than that, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Mike, can you just talk about how, I guess, level-headed and kind of almost even keeled the locker room was when we got in there last night? And I don't know what you saw in the moments before it's open to the media. It almost seems like your team kind of expected it and wasn't too over jubilant and just kind of business at hand. Is that something that you preach from kind of day one?
I think everybody was really excited when they got in the locker room. You know, not easy to win the NFC East, a very competitive division. So that was there, but there's a purpose that, you know, our goals aren't accomplished. You know, that's the first step. And we know we got an excellent football team coming into our place. We know our fans are going to be ready. Our football team will be ready. You don't get these opportunities very often. And when you do, you want to take advantage of them. We got the opportunity to play them here. Fans were a big part of our win yesterday. And hopefully they will be, you know, this Sunday.
Mike, how quickly did your attention and focus turn to the Seahawks last night? And when you look at their offense, obviously they have multiple weapons. What worries you most about them?
Well, I didn't get too concerned about them last night. We were trying to celebrate a little bit. We had 2 or 3 hours in there before we got back over here. But I got a lot of respect for them. I mean, everybody can see how they've been playing. You know, they're excellent offense and defensive football team. You know, giving up the fewest points in the National Football League. Defensive playing at a very high level, you know, offensively. They've been able to run the football, score a lot of points. So it's a, you know, very well coached, very well disciplined team that's been playing great in all areas.
Going back to last night, can you just take us through the decision to have all three quarterbacks active and what, I guess, prompted that? And then also on the touchdown to Witten, the play clock had clearly expired. Did you ever get any explanation or anything of that sort?
Yeah, you always get an explanation, but sometimes not the explanation that you want to hear. You know, my opinion, you just missed it. You know, I was looking at the clock, too. And you do it for a lot of years, and you got to be able to take a look at a clock. Once it goes to zero, then you look at the ball. It was clearly not snapped. And at least from my opinion, it was just a mistake, just a blown call. And what was the other one?
All three quarterbacks.
Well, D.J. Gomes, we thought he was going to be up. And we worked him out before the game. We could see that he was not able to cut like we would. And with the guys that we had in active, I thought Rex was the next best person to be up. Nobody could really help us in the special teams area, either first or second team. So there would not have been a difference maker there. And when I took a look at all our options, I said there's no question Rex should be up.
Mike, when you talk about RG3 and his knee, mm-hmm. better yesterday than the week before, obviously. Mm-hmm. What's your view of that and how you were able to use him yesterday versus a week ago?
Well, I was a little disappointed, you know, yesterday because he only averaged 10 and a half yards a carry. I was hoping he's going to average a little bit more. So there's always disappointment when a guy is hurting and he averages a little over 10 yards a carry. But on a serious side, you know, the LCL is going to take some time. We all know that. You know, is it a month? Is it a month and a half? You really never know where it's completely healed. Is he 4.5, 4.4? I don't know. Doctors say he's 100%. We don't have to worry about him re-injuring that LCL. The brace helps him, at least mentally, know that he's not putting too much pressure on it. I think that's why he looks a little bit different when he does cut. It's a little bit, I think it bothers him just a hair, but it's, you know, something that he has to wear. So hopefully it just gets better and better.
I had another question. When you look at the streak you're on right now, how much does momentum and confidence as you get on a roll like this impact that when things get tough in the course of a game, the team has the faith to know that they can get it done, and how does that build as you go along?
Well, I think that's what separates teams. You know, teams that play with a lot of confidence. You get used to winning. You expect to win. You've been in that situation a few times where, you know, it's a tough third quarter, it's a tough first quarter, fourth quarter, and you find a way to win. You know, it's a mindset. A lot of guys believing in each other, you know, work, concentrating on their job, and at the end, finding a way to get it done. And when you do that, sometimes it's you just get used to it. It's one of those things that kind of separates really good teams from the average teams.
Do you sense that that's different about this team versus, say, September, October, as you've grown?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, we lost a number of games in the fourth quarter, and we had some leads or we were tied, and you know, you could just feel, you know, the momentum change. We had some young guys playing at a higher level, bigger sense of urgency. We talked about the receivers, how they've stepped it up. You know, got a guy like Rob Jackson, our secondary, some of the guys that were a little bit inexperienced on defense who hadn't played a lot. They're playing more, playing with a lot more confidence than they did early in the season. So it's a combination of a lot of things that happened in the second half of the season and to give you a chance to, you know, get to the playoffs.
I'd like to get back to Robert for a minute. Do you think that knee is hurting him more than he's letting on?
No. No, I don't think it's hurting him more than he's letting on. You got to be able to practice every day. You watch people practice. You watch people cut. But it's just not natural to go back and run a 4.340. It just doesn't happen when it's not 100%. But when you're averaging over 10 yards a carry, that's still pretty good. Still pretty good, especially in the NFL. That's not too bad.
We'll spend the whole week talking about what this means for the team and the organization. But for you personally, is there any sense of accomplishment having kind of hit detonate here and rebuilt over 3 years to win the division?
Well, I think any time that you go back as a coach, you kind of go back through your experiences. Like when I was in Denver, 2006, 2007, 2008, and people always say, hey, your last win as a coach was in 2005. You know, we lost to Pittsburgh at home for the AFC Championship, a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And then 2006, you know, we lost our last game. That would have put us in the playoffs at 10-6. And 2008, we lose the last game, which if we beat San Diego, we would have been division champs with the AFC West. So you understand as a coach, unless you get it done, people forget very quickly of what you've done. So that's why I think a game like winning the NFC East, you get a game like that, you know, you want to find a way to win it. Because once you do, that momentum starts again. So there's a lot of games that you play, and unless you take advantage of that opportunity, people forget very quickly.
I know with the two Super Bowls, you're not going to comp just the division championship to that, but as a coaching staff, I mean, is this as proud as you've been of a group since then?
You know, I'm very proud of this group because there's a lot of people, when you're 3-6 and you're fighting some adversity, they're not strong enough mentally to, you know, really go out there and practice hard, give themselves a chance to accomplish goals. I mean, you got to have strong character to take criticism and keep on fighting and not worry about what's being said and just focus on your job. Players as well as coaches, so very proud of how they've handled themselves.
What did you think of Josh Laribas when he went in there and took over for Corey?
I thought Josh did a very good job. You know, he's been practicing extremely well. He's a guy that I had no reservations putting in. Once Corey looked like he was a little hobbled, he was trying to play with that sprained ankle, but you could see he could just not get it done. And we did put him in, had no reservations, and rightfully so, he played well.
What improvements has he made just from the time he's come in? Obviously understanding and things like that, but what are some of the steps of growth that you've seen out of him?
Well, you know, he came from a system that was quite different than the system that we're running, so it takes some time, and I just think he's adapted very quickly. He's extremely bright, and he's very powerful. You know, he's in that 315, 320 range, and so I like the way he's handled himself. You can see he brings a dimension of that quickness and toughness, and hopefully he can keep on getting better.
Mike, not sure how much you've had a chance to watch of Seattle yet, but if you have had a chance to watch them, how different are they offensively this year with Russell Wilson as quarterback as opposed to when you went out there?
My good side's over here if you want to come over here. Okay, good. I'm sorry, go ahead. I know, go ahead.
How different is Seattle this year with Russell Wilson as opposed to last year when you guys went out there and played Tavares Jackson?
Well, you know, I haven't really studied them. You know, I've been just looking at our games, you know, this morning, not knowing who you're going to play. So I can tell you more here in a couple of days.
You said you tried to enjoy the victory last night after you guys got home. Mm-hmm. What was it like for you just personally? I know you kind of touched on something when Grant asked you, but what was the emotion like for you? Did you feel anything special at that time? Or just
focused? Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, so rewarding to, you know, come in and, you know, trying to put something together and seeing the guys so excited, the coaching staff so excited. I mean, it's what you work for. And, you know, to see guys working for the last 3 years, 18 hours a day in the draft room, looking at pro players, evaluating these guys, signing these guys, and, you know, seeing a lot of guys making different steps, learning the offense, defense, and actually stepping up and, you know, accomplishing something, you feel very good about it. So, but saying that, you know, it's first step. So hopefully we can take advantage of an opportunity and play our best football here next week.
Mike, I apologize if you talked with us last night, but what was going on with Robert's helmet? It seemed like he switched it a number of times.
Yeah, we couldn't, you know, right from the second play of the game, we had some problems with communicating with the quarterback. He could not hear us, so that's why he had to use that first time out. And I think we switched it three or four times during the game for some reason. Communication wasn't there.
Mike, Sunday, it'll feature two of the more exciting rookie quarterbacks to come along in a while in the postseason. To what do you attribute some of the success that a lot of the young second-year rookie quarterbacks have had this year? Is that come down to what they've gone through in college? Is this just straight talent? Or,
you know, it's really hard to explain. You know, as I talked about last week a little bit, and you take a look at 40 years in the National Football League, and you take a look at all first-round draft choices that play 10 or more games, there's only seven guys with winning records, and all of a sudden this year there's three guys with winning records. I can't really explain that. But all three quarterbacks playing at a very high level. I think it's great for the game. I think it speaks highly about, you know, the colleges and what they're doing with the passing attacks now to, you know, get them more accustomed to the NFL. But it's also a credit to these quarterbacks and how they've played.
Mike, how do you explain what Rob Jackson has done as far as the plays he's making? Before you put a guy out there, do you get a feeling that this guy could develop into that, or does it just kind of happen? And how surprised are you that he has become that kind of a playmaker?
Well, I'll be honest with you, it's just the opposite for me, because when he was on the scout team, we had a hard time blocking him. I mean, Trent Williams was going against him all the time, and, you know, he'd flip-flop sides, and whoever the right tackle was at that time, Rob would give us fits on the scout team. I just kept on thinking, I said, sooner or later, he's going to transfer this to the field, and he really has. Once he's got his opportunity to play and play consistently, I think he's loosened up a little bit. He's using his God-given talent to obviously rush the passer and play the run as well. And what made some big plays over the last three or four games, it's a difference in winning and losing.
Mike, I think seven head coaches around the NFL got fired today, and a number of general managers, the Black Monday scenario. How does that resonate with you, just someone in this business knowing kind of what the pressure is to be in that position and to see the results today around the league?
You know, I haven't really had a chance to see everything, but I just heard about it about an hour ago or a little less than that. You know, it's really tough because you're dealing with so many families. You're just not dealing with the head football coach. You know, the head football coach usually has a little bit more security. Most of them have been around for a little bit. They can go get coordinators' jobs or different head coaching jobs. You know, some of them got some excellent resumes. But when you're talking about the whole staff, you know, a lot of times everybody's gone. It affects so many families. So you can empathize what they're going through. It's really a tough situation. But these guys are at the top of their game, and these coaches will all find jobs. And you wish them the best because – you know, it's not an easy profession.
In Denver, you never made the playoffs, even having so much as a losing record in the second half of the season. Did you find yourself, you know, with coaching skills and abilities that you didn't even know you had to pull this team back up from where it was?
Well, I think what you have to do is you have to have really solid people. You know, and that's, I think if you learn one thing as you get older in coaching, is that you're going to get the people that you feel like give you the best chance to win. You know, when you're younger, you're always looking for the best athlete. You always think that athlete is going to get you that championship. And through experiences, you realize that everybody has to know their role. There's only going to be so many great athletes on your football team, and those great athletes, you're hoping they're your leaders. And some of the guys we picked up, you know, you take a look at a Bowen or a Cofield, and two of our captains elected in the middle of the season. You're lucky enough to go in free agency and getting two quality guys that are not only good football players but set the bar for some of the younger guys and some of the older guys on your football team, along with a guy like London. And then you got a guy like Lorenzo Alexander, not only playing on the defense in a substitute role, but he's leading on special teams. And all of a sudden these young guys get, you know, they get a direction to go one way or the other, and you feel like you've at least gotten some good draft choices with some quality character. Then everybody raises the bar a little bit as the season goes on. And same thing on offense. I think, you know, Trent has set a standard this year with the offensive line. We've got some great character guys working extremely hard. That's the only way, you know, you're one of the best in rushing in the National Football League. You got to have everybody working together. Then you get a guy like Robert, who's not only talented, but is a natural leader. He's got all the intangibles you look for. And then you got a guy like Kirk Cousins and Rex Grossman that they're pushing each other every day. And you got a guy like Alfred Morris that comes in that nobody thinks can, you know, since he's a six-round draft choice, he's going to be a difference maker, and all of a sudden he is. So, you know, those are the things you like to see. You know, guys working extremely hard and all going the same direction.
Have you had any feedback that Kyle might be a candidate for any of those coaching openings, and would you have any problems with him interviewing if so requested?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, at least my opinion, at least this is my feeling, when I was an assistant, you know, it's not time to interview during the season. You know, it's time to concentrate on your job after the season's over with. I think there's plenty of time for all those things. And that's just my, you know, that's my gut feeling. You know, you've got a job to do, and you should do that first. Then after the season's over, if somebody wants to interview them or something along those lines, I think it's a great opportunity for assistant coaches to interview for head coaching jobs.
Mike, have you had any players suspended this week, last couple of Mondays you have?
I hope not. Have you heard something?
No, that's why I'm asking, just because each week.
No, I'm hoping not. No, no, not that I know of. Man, I thought you knew something I didn't know.
Normally the press release comes out 2 minutes after.
You know, that is a good question. You're right. You're right. Way to start out the new year. Thanks.
Mike, in your past experience, how important is it to have players on your roster who have played in the playoffs before, maybe even won the Super Bowl before? You have a couple here, but overall the roster is quite young and inexperienced in the playoffs.
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's always good to have guys that are experienced, guys that have been there, but it surely doesn't dictate which teams are going to win. I just think you have to be playing your best football once you get to the playoffs. And if you are, you got a chance. You know, you go back in history, you look at a lot of different teams, and fifth seed, sixth seed, especially recently. And, you know, they're playing their best football, and, you know, they go all the way. And so if you're in, you got an opportunity, and that's what we're hoping. We take advantage of our opportunity.
Mike, in the past couple of weeks, you guys have relied heavily on Jordan Pugh. He came in here early in the season. What's he been doing lately that's just kind of shown he's mastered that defense, and how well has he been playing for you?
A very conscientious guy. He works extremely hard. He's fast. He's quick. Very attentive. Attention to detail. He's come in and learned the system. He's helped us on special teams. And that's what you're looking for. Guys come in and they want to help. They want to find a way to get on the field. And it doesn't happen too often during the season, but he's been a big plus for us.
Mike, this might be better for Danny, but I'll ask you. Anything that you saw on Kai's miss off the right upright? Anything would go wrong that you could identify?
No, he cut him since he missed that field goal. He's gone. No, I mean, those things happen. In fact, it was curving back in when you take a look in the end zone copy. And anyway, we'll allow him one miss. That's okay.